This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At quarterback for the two teams, the two guys who were really considered maybe the top pick in the draft the year that they came out. And at Sam Darnold for the Jets, number three pick in the 2018 draft. And, of course, Baker Mayfield for the Browns, the number one pick in that draft. Gentleman who has just written a story about the little matchup that's coming up on Monday involving those quarterbacks joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Mark Sessler from NFL.com. You have these two quarterbacks. Mark, what have you heard about how close they were one way or the other between Baker and Sam Darnold? Or was John Dorsey all in Baker Mayfield the whole way?
Well, I mean, I think that the presence of Scott McLuhan in the draft room in 2018 played a large role. That's one name that came up over and over in that process, someone that backed the concept of Baker Mayfield heavily, because during the pro day for Sam Darnold, when the Browns had everyone there, when, you know, Cleveland brass were sitting with Sam Darnold's parents, at that point it was widely believed that he was the front runner and that Darnold kind of checked all those boxes. And, you know, you come out of a scenario where you had a Brandon Whedon, who was ages older than most quarterbacks you draft, or you had before that Colt McCoy, who was more of a pop gun arm type passer and not, you know, typical pro size, that they looked at Darnold as someone that checked all those boxes of size, weight, everything, coming out of a big time school. And Baker Mayfield, even days before the draft, his name was not the front runner on any level. So I think we all know that It was something sort of an 11th hour surprise, but that they were completely won over by the person, neck up, Baker Mayfield, the leadership. I think that had a lot to do with John Dorsey and a lot to do with, from what I gather, Scott McLuhan being part of that process too. I'm not sure if it would have happened without Scott McLuhan. That's the name that kept coming up when I heard about the process of how they drafted him. And Scott McLuhan has been in and out of the league with different teams, but if you look at who he's drafted around the NFL, it's a pretty impressive list.
What did we learn about Baker Mayfield last week? Like, what did you take out of that game? I got out of it was the three interceptions didn't bother me at all in the fourth quarter. I saw a young guy that's trying to make something happen for his team in a game that was going into the you-know-what.
I'm with you. I think that's what you're going to get with Baker Mayfield, is that the game was going south. You know, they put up a touchdown, and they're back in it. And, you know, he was at one point around 22 for 29 with, you know, 260 yards and a touchdown. Then the fourth quarter, the wheels completely came off. I think that defense was tired, and that gave way to that big, long Derrick Henry touchdown. And then you've got Baker Mayfield trying to make something happen with a depleted, banged-up line in front of him. And he's operating, you know, in front of pressure that he's not faced this entire season. And it was about as rocky a start team-wide. But if you go back and watch Baker Mayfield, he still gives you four, five, or six throws in that game that give you complete confidence in what he can do. Any quarterback's going to be reduced when they've got three or four people in their face on every play. I think on that safety where Cameron Wake knocked him hard to the ground, I'm not sure he was physically right after that, Baker Mayfield. I just got the sense that whether he was rattled after that, and he did the best he could behind a line that, you know, was going through something that most teams don't experience, where you get down to simply five linemen left. That is a recipe for total chaos, and it's completely atypical with what he faced down the stretch last year when that line came together and played so well, and he faced such little pressure. I'm watching the Chiefs-Jaguars game right now, and on these huge plays by Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce to Sammy Watkins, you know, these are play-action passes where he's dropping back five, seven steps, and he has a prairie land of space around him. And on top of it, when that defense is not able to get any pressure, the Jaguars' defense, their defensive backs are left alone. Those guys are wide open, the Chiefs' targets. So that's what Baker Mayfield was not experiencing last week, having to shove passes into tight windows with three or four guys in his face.
Mark Sessler joining us from NFL.com. Mark, I want to go back to the draft thought for a second. It's way too early to draw any definite conclusions, but it looks like Sam Darnold can play in the league. It looks like Josh Allen can play in the league. It looks like Baker Mayfield can certainly play in the league. Josh Rosen, jury's still out on that. What's your gut tell you? Which guy's going to end up having the best NFL career?
I mean, where we are right now, it's easily Baker Mayfield based on what he can do on the field. And I think he's a perfect match for Cleveland in terms of his leadership style. I like Sam Darnold second. My issue there is that I don't want to see – if anything happens with that Adam Gase experience and they make another switch, suddenly you've got a quarterback that's on his second, third offense, second, third coordinator. It needs to go smoothly. He needs to have someone – you know, and I guess you could say in theory Baker's on his second offense, but – there's a lot of connective DNA to last year as well with the coaching staff and what they're doing, and I don't think that's the same thing. But Darnold's suddenly a second offense in 2 years with a lot of different characters around him, and I didn't love what happened in week one. Darnold had a chance to go down and win the game. They were up 16-0. Their defense gave them 8 points in that game with a pick six and a safety. The offense did very little. Darnold threw for, I think, about 3.4 yards per attempt. So that's why I wrote the column I did about Mayfield, for his own reasons, facing a lot of pressure this year. And that has a lot to do with external care about or they don't, but their own internal issues with their offensive line, which I think we've been talking about since July and August. For Darnold, it's you've got to actually go have one of those games where we see it on national television, not last year's game versus Cleveland where they crumbled the Jets, but a game where Darnold goes out and takes command. He had a chance to do that against the Bills, a good defense, and did not get it done. You can't keep authoring those types of losses.
All right, what do we expect out of the Browns this week? You get an extra day of practice. That's one good thing. You know, they're off today. But how do they fix the problems that we saw in week one, especially with the – I mean, it's just the communication between the offensive line and Baker Mayfield, to me, it's weird because I really felt like – and you tell me if you agree with this – that – the things that Baker does really well make the offensive line look really good. And we saw that in the second half of the season, but we didn't see that in week one. How do those guys all get on the same page?
Well, I think when you have, you know, a tackle ejected, a tackle that had two killer penalties before he was quickly out of the game in Greg Robinson, you've got a team that on offense, you know, forget about even the defensive penalties. It seemed like every time the offense made a play that started to put them into rhythm, the flag was thrown and they're going backwards 10, 15 yards. I mean, you cannot win in the NFL with five or six killer flags in a game, much less, you know, of the 18, I'd say seven or eight of them completely unplug the offense from what they were doing. And that's got to go away, and that's coaching and that's discipline, and that probably tracks back to what they were doing weeks ago. And they, you know, you see teams come out really shaky at this point in the NFL experience because, you know, as people are correctly noting, I think week one is closer to the true regular season tune-up for some of these teams. A guy like Darnold probably should have been out there more in the preseason. I think Baker, you know, could have used more time with that offensive line, or they could have in general been out there more. And you got a lot of sloppiness. They've got to correct that, number one. You can't kill yourself over and over when you're trying to build this rhythm with your line. And on top of it, you know, I think Baker is a good match for a line that's not going to be the best protector because of the way he can move. But you just can't let the Jets get to him on play after play. And they never really – I thought what bothered me was that last year's offense, when you go back and watch some of those games, that Nick Chubb was able just to completely set the table and take over. And they got kind of deep into that game, and there was really nothing happening with Nick Chubb, and the run game did not exist. And that's not the way this team should operate. It put Baker in a lot of tough spots. And on the flip side, you know, I thought they did a nice job against Mariota, but that defense got tired because the offense didn't have these long, sustained drives like they did last year.
Mark, do you think there's going to be more of a learning curve for this offense than maybe we thought there would be?
Well, I think, you know, I feel like people did mention that there's a lot of new pieces here. There may be a learning curve, and we're seeing it play out. But, you know, you don't have the benefit of a long learning curve because, you know, people can talk about the Patriots taking September as a month to figure out what they are, and that's fine, and they may be doing that, but they're also hammering 3 out of 4 teams while they're learning. Cleveland's schedule is brutal, and from a perception point, I'd say you have 3 nationally televised games over the next 4 or 5 weeks. You've got to get together as a team and correct this, and I think the Jets game sets up well, and from a psychological standpoint, and you know, I'm just guessing here, but I think it takes some of the heat off to have that Titans game go the way it did, where, okay, now they're not the thing we're focusing on because maybe we were all wrong about the Browns and they're just the same old team. I don't think they are. I think they're going to bounce back, but some of the air is let out of the balloon. They can get down to business and just go out and face a Jets team that has problems of their own. And I think the loser of that game is in very hot water. I know that September football is not the end-all be-all, but for either one of these teams to start 0-2 while other teams are getting very hot, I just don't like the way that sets up, especially when you look at Cleveland's schedule. It is pretty brutal in stretches, and especially over the first month of the season. And you want to get a win in there to kind of say, okay, this we can build off this.
Mark, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Mark Sessler, NFL.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and he will be joining us Wednesdays at noon right here during the NFL season.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.